But here in Matthew 28, you know the passage in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. May the Lord help us that we not doubt. I mean, these are the Lord's disciples that are there, and there's some that doubt. May the Lord help us that we wouldn't doubt him. May the Lord help us that our faith would be in the Lord. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I've got all power. All the power that there is, I possess it. I have it. It's been given unto me, if you will, of the Father. Verse 19, because of that, go ye therefore, because I have all power, go ye therefore and teach all nations. As a brother preached this morning, there out of Acts chapter 8, and about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, and about how, mentioning about how Philip was there at Samaria and preached the gospel, and the Lord saved many. And then from that great revival and that working of the Lord, the Lord sent him to the eunuch. Whether there be many or whether there be few, the Lord uses means and uses men. And the timetable of the Lord is not our timetable. It's his plan, his working, his power, his purpose. May the Lord help us not to get upset or bothered about details that we think are important, but that our eyes might be focused upon what the Lord is doing and what he says is important. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Preach that gospel to them. Preach about the Lord Jesus Christ and the condition of sinners and their great peril without a Savior. Preach unto them about their sin and that great chasm that is between them and their Creator. And that without a Savior, without the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that God the Father has sent, they have no hope. And then show unto them Jesus Christ, how the Lord Jesus Christ willingly, sin of his Father, yet willingly came and gave all. He gave all for his people, for sinners. Go ye therefore and teach all nations about those things. Preach to them. And then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Don't baptize them first and then try to teach them something. But teach them and witness to them. And when the Lord gets a hold of them, and the Lord saves their souls, they'll give a testimony of it. They'll give a witness of it, because it's the living God that has visited them and that is within. We won't have to coax it out of them. We won't have to help them with their account. They will tell us, amen, about the visitation of the Lord. And so here we have this instruction as the Lord's church to baptize. I remind you of Matthew chapter 3. You're familiar with this. I mentioned about it a little bit this morning. John the Baptist is here preaching. And in verse number 5, all Jerusalem and Judea goes out to him where John is baptizing. In Matthew chapter 3, it says here in verse number 5, then went out unto him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. I'm repented. I'm guilty before God. The Lord has showed me that. And I see Jesus having been crucified and buried and risen from the dead for me. We meet many, and I've told you about it on visitation, folks that we talk to. Well, Jesus died for us all. And say, what about you? Where are you at? Because when it gets down to the soul and the eternity of the soul and the reckoning of that soul with God, all the rest of us don't matter, do we? Because your soul is the one that you need to be most concerned about and standing before God in the need of your soul. My wife's salvation will do nothing for me. My salvation will do nothing for my children. They need the salvation. They need salvation of their soul from the Lord. And so John saw this, and they brought forth these fruits meet for repentance. That's what that is talking about. It's made clear here in verse number 7. They were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when they saw, John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You've not received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've not been here and heard the preaching. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Don't come in your own self-righteousness. Don't come that you expect that this baptism that I am administering is due you because you are righteous and religious and even an elder or a leader amongst our nation. Don't think that that's the case. It's clarified even more. He says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we've got Abraham, or I've got this, or I've got that, or I've got the other. Do you have Jesus Christ? Does he have you? That's the where it is. And he tells about the Lord having that the Lord is near, and that this judgment by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the revealing more of the kingdom of God and the salvation of the Lord. John says, I'm baptizing with water, but there's one that's coming that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's has fans in his hand. He gives an example about the wheat at the garner. And the wheat at the threshing floor, and how the chaff and the wheat are being separated, the wheat into the garner and the chaff to be burned. In verse number 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John says, I should be baptized of you. It should be. With the testimony and witness I hear of your ministry, I should be baptized by you. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it so to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. The order and pattern of God is that John was that man sent by the Lord to baptize and to preach that message, to make a people prepared for the Lord. And John was to do so, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he didn't need to be baptized, did he? And from the standpoint of himself, and a witness and testimony of having been saved, he didn't need that. But he did so from the standpoint of an example to us, to his children, we that the Lord does save, and that he received that authority in receiving that baptism from the man sent by God. And therefore, we know in John chapter 3 and John chapter 4, the Lord's church is found baptizing after that. It's just a very simple thing. Suffer it so to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. This is the purpose and plan of God. And he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and lighting upon him, John did. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The sanction and the blessing of God Almighty upon the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ went some 60 miles to be baptized of a man sent by God. The Spirit of God descended from heaven like a dove and gave witness and testimony that the Spirit of God approved. And God the Father speaks from heaven, the Trinity manifested there in that, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Baptism being very important and having a purpose and in its right place. And in Romans chapter 6, quickly, in Romans chapter 6, we see a note here and how it is in this, in baptism, this identification with Christ. This identification with Christ. That's what Natalie being baptized, others that have been baptized when they've been saved, they're given a testimony and witness that they identify with Christ. That they need Christ, that if it was not for Christ, I could not be saved. But because Jesus did give his life, because Jesus did die, that he was buried, he did raise from the dead, for me, I have been saved. That's the witness and the testimony that's shown in it. In Romans chapter 6, we see here, let's start at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? I need his death. I was a wicked, guilty sinner. I needed someone to pay the price for me. And it is Jesus Christ that did so. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him. Listen to the words here. Buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Christ died and was buried, wasn't he? And then he rose from the dead. You and I, we're dead to sin, we're dead to self, we're dead to the world, we're buried with Christ. and we're arisen, raised to new life in Him. That's what has happened with us in being saved. We've been changed. We've been touched. We've been quickened. We've been made alive. We're baptized, buried with Him by baptism into death. That verse 4, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's what it shows. One of the things it shows. Look at this here. For if we have been planted, buried, planted. Okay? Those words go together there. Together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. And that's the hope that we have in it. Because Christ lives, we will live and be with Him forever one day. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're dead to ourselves. We're dead to our own way. We're dead to the world. And we have been saved from our sins and should not pursue after them any longer. We've been changed. We've been made alive. We've been set free that we may serve the Lord. And so baptism tells us and shows us about that. 1 Peter 3. And here in verse number 18, 1 Peter 3, verse number 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And that's how we're saved, by which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, which once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, and an example telling us and showing us about baptism, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, the antitype, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Brother Jim, we don't believe in baptismal regeneration. You're right, we don't. It's not baptism that saves, it's baptism that shows we've been saved. That's the purpose of it. That's the command of the Lord. He says, in like figure. How was it there? The ark, the judgment of God was meted out upon the world by water. Right? But the ark that was prepared for the people of God, and wherein the Lord put those people, and they were sealed up by the Lord, that very judgment that was used to judge the world and judge the inhabitants of the earth, that very water bore up the people of God. And they were saved in the midst of the destruction of the earth, in the midst of the destruction of the inhabitants of the earth, where the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Here's the clarification. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh here, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. I need my Savior to have saved me. He has saved me. And I want to tell the world, I want to tell the church that the Lord has led me to join. I want to tell them and I want to tell the world what Christ does for me. That's what baptism shows, His burial and His resurrection. It goes on to say, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. He died once, didn't He? He died once. And He was buried once, wasn't He? And then He rose from the dead. Okay? And so, in other religions, they might take and they might administer what they would call baptism many times. But as the Lord Jesus Christ lived, died, was buried, and rose again once, the one that is saved, believer's baptism that the brother preached about this morning, needs to be baptized once. We don't come back to baptism, come back to baptism, come back to baptism. There's no need. It's administered once, and in that it shows that the Lord did those things for that sinner once. All right.